What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Welcome to Unfiltered Studios, your one-stop destination for a diverse range of podcasts that cater to every interest. Join St. Joe on Nailed It as he explores the fascinating times of the 80s and 90s. Find solace in the advice of a mother on Petals of Support. Dive deep into intriguing interviews on The Sleevey G Show. Catch up with the latest in sports on Unfiltered Sports Weekly. Connect with your spiritual side on Finding Your Way. Achieve mental wellness with Hypno-Wellness. Never forget the history of everyday items with The Stupid History Minute. Understand how we've become the people we are today on How to Be Less of an Asshole, and gather with fellow movie enthusiasts on Movie Lovers Unite. Your journey into the world of podcasts begins here at Unfiltered Studios. Subscribe now and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com for more information.
Roadhouse. So,
Roadhouse.
All I can think of whenever I hear the thing Roadhouse, I think of Family Guy with Peter.
Yeah, everywhere. Roadhouse. Yeah, same here. My life is Family Guy.
Same here.
Everything guys, I see, I relate it to. Oh my gosh, it's like a Family Guy episode. Everything is ridiculous.
It really is. And I love that episode so much. Yeah. Guys, I just want to say welcome to the show. Rossi's here with me, as you can tell. And we're going to be talking about a little Roadhouse. So I don't see this movie being successful at the movie theaters. I think that this would actually, I think streaming is the right way to go about it when you look at it from that angle.
Right.
And Doug Liman knew from day one that Amazon was just going to be for streaming. It was not going to be a theatrical release. But then Jake winds up responding back to this. He says in an interview with Total Film, Gyllenhaal was diplomatic about the situation, saying, "I adore Doug Tenacity. I think he is advocating for filmmakers in the film, in the cinema, in theatrical releases. But I mean, Amazon was always clear that it was streaming. I just want as many people to see it as possible."
Right.
So that was Jake's take on it. And if you sign that deal with the studios, you already know for a fact that, you know, you signed a deal with Amazon. Right. And that's how it's going to be. It's not going to be a theatrical release, Doug.
Right.
So therefore, you're not going to end up having that theatrical run. But what's your take on it?
First of all, let's talk about the whole Roadhouse thing really quick. I wasn't expecting that either. So I was kind of shocked that they were remaking Roadhouse. But I do get that it is a small cult. They have a cult following. So I do understand that. John and I were just talking about Roadhouse from Family Guy. So anyway, it's made its stamp on society. But as far as this story is concerned, you know, I totally get where Doug's coming from as far as he felt as if Jake gave a great performance as John Dalton. And to him, it would have been better for them to stream it or not stream it, but have a theatrical release. So it playing in the theaters. But like you said, John, he knew that in the beginning. He knew that when they signed this deal with Amazon was very honest. It's going to be streaming on our platform and it's not going to be, you know, in a theater. So everyone did understand that and knew that. And so it seems like after everything got rolling, Doug then decided that he was against it, you know, for good reasons, of course. I get where he's coming from, but, you know, they had a choice to take. It was a deal, a money deal. You know, you take, I think it was 70 million or something.
Yeah.
If you want it to go into theaters and, you know, 85 million, whatever the number was, they did have a number and they chose to go with the streaming service, Amazon. So you can't now go back and renege on a deal. It is what it is. And it's Amazon Prime. It's not like it's going to be streaming on Tubi. You know what I mean? Not saying that Tubi doesn't have a huge audience, but let's be real. Amazon has a huge audience. And it's, I believe that if anybody that loves Roadhouse, and if you are into Jake Gyllenhaal, he's a great actor, you're going to go to Amazon and you're going to watch it, you know, and eventually, you know, it'll be on HBO. But I get the fact that not as much money is made, and globally having it released in a theater, not everyone's going to be able to see Jake's, you know, performance.
Right. And I feel like this, okay, with that and everything too. Hey, JoJo, how are you?
Hi, Joey.
But here's the thing that I feel about Rossi, okay? Like I said, no one's glamoring for a Roadhouse movie.
Right.
And I get the fact that you don't make that much money with streaming services or anything like that. All you're looking for is basically subscribers, and therefore you need something new to pull new subscribers in. So therefore you make your money on new subscribers, not old subscribers.
Right.
So Amazon's using a tool to be able to basically have new subscribers because of, like, oh, Jake Gyllenhaal, he's going to be in the Roadhouse remake. You also have a UFC fighter, Colin McGregor, that's going to be in there too.
Right.
So it's like a 2-for-1 deal. So, you know, I don't blame them for wanting to do this because Jake Gyllenhaal's a fantastic actor.
Oh, he's great. He's absolutely
And,
great.
You know, I don't see this movie making any money, even if it had a theatrical run. And that's just me being logical here, even though it was a cult following and everything in the 80s, too.
Right.
But I just don't see him making anything. And, of course, Jake winds up responding nicely. I like how Jake responds to this.
It was very nice. Very
he gives
nice.
Doug a lot of respect, a lot of credibility. It's like, hey, look, Doug knew what he was getting into as soon as he signed on that dotted line. It was always going to be for Amazon. And because of that, we now have to go with Amazon, and it's just going to be for streaming, and it's going to be an Amazon original. So therefore, you know, you're now stuck with the streaming service, but you're all, get this, about 1 billion people use Amazon, like you mentioned with Tubi and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's more profitable in a sense for people to view your movie on Amazon than it is to be on any other streaming service and everything.
Yeah, because
too.
I mean, as far as the theater as well too, like you said, I mean, come on, no one's paying to go see Roadhouse, and the people that are paying to go see Roadhouse, they're going to lose money if they release that in the theaters. Can you imagine how much money will be lost by, you know, putting it, you know, releasing in the theaters? I just think it is a waste of time. No, like you said, no one asked for, you know, Roadhouse, you know, so the fact that you remade it, you know, and like I said, for that following that they have, that's something that you put on Amazon Prime. Everyone's going to make money off of it. The actors are going to make money off of it. And you signed, you knew, I'm sure the deal was signed. You knew what you were going to get. So, you know, that's that. But I, you know, I get where Doug's coming from, of course. But you know,
I'm looking. Sorry, going ahead.
No, go. No, the deal's done. Like they accepted that.
Right, exactly. And I'm looking at the box office number for the original one. And the basically is this, okay? The film grossed $30 million in the United States, and $31 million internationally for worldwide, for a total of $61 million. Okay, so that's how much it made.
Right.
Now let's go into the budget, though. Roadhouse. And that is going to be, well, get this. The Jake Gyllenhaal one had like a $60 million.
Okay.
And $85 million to go on streaming. So that's how much it was for that.
Okay.
So now, and it was $15 million for the original.
Okay. So the original made money.
It made a little bit.
You know, But I do remember when the original came out. I mean, Patrick Swayze, I believe he's coming off of Dirty Dancing. And or maybe that was before or after. Anyways, but we knew who Patrick Swayze was, you know, loved him on Dirty Dancing. I remember seeing the movie when it came out. It was exactly what it was, you know, a action, you know, pack movie, and it was good at the time. I mean, it wasn't the best, but it was good. Patrick Swayze did a good job, and it was what it was, you know. So that's why, out of all movies to remake, it was kind of shocking, you know, that they were, you know, chose to do this one. I was kind of like, really, Roadhouse? You know, what did I miss?
nothing.
Exactly. That's exactly. I mean, but it was good enough. It became a Family Guy meme, which is funny, right?
I love the Family Guy.
Was what it was. You would expect that, absolutely. But for it to have a remake, it was just, you know, wasn't expecting that. But I will say, I mean, I really love Jake Gyllenhaal, so I'll definitely watch it because, you know, I want to see it and see how he does in it, because I don't see him as someone that would play John Dalton.
No, I don't see that either. I would actually put him in there with Conor McGregor's character.
Yeah, right. Right. There you go. Yeah. So I was surprised it was Jake Gyllenhaal. I thought it was like they were joking. You know, I just see him as a different type of actor.
Right. Same here as well. And Jake Gyllenhaal is a good looking man. Like, no joke.
Oh, absolutely. But, of course.
But not Patrick Swayze good looking.
Yeah. You know what it was a different type of look. You know, I didn't, like you said, someone like Conor McGregor, you know, playing that part. You get it. The whole persona. You know what I mean? Yeah.
With Jake Gyllenhaal playing Conor McGregor's part as the villain, and then have someone else that's very good looking, yes, maybe Ryan Gosling playing a Patrick Swayze.
Oh, I thought you were saying, I was thinking that Conor McGregor playing the part that you were saying, you think that they would put someone like him in it because of his rugged looks and all that. Right. And I'm saying,
but I would think that Jake would actually John be Dalton better for it. Right.
Okay.
Swap it, basically.
Swap it. Okay.
So JoJo says Dirty Dancing, then Roadhouse. Okay. Awesome.
Thank you
for that.
I figured he was coming off of Dirty Dancing.
So now we got that out of, now we got the drama out of the way. So now we're going to go on and take a break from the drama and bring in Disney Strikes Deal with Disney. That does not make sense. But no, Disney Strikes Deal with Sony for distribution of physical content and physical media.
Right.
And this had everybody in an uproar. And at first, I'm like, I don't know. I'm not like a Disney fan or anything like that. Right. I don't get me wrong. I like a couple of movies here and there, but I'm not
It's
not like I'm going to go ride the Magic Kingdom anytime soon. but this is coming from Variety.
That's funny.
Variety.
Yes.
Disney is outsourcing a big piece of its home entertainment division to Sony Pictures Entertainment, which will manufacture, distribute, and market the Mouse House's DVDs and Blu-rays discs and other physical media. As part of the deal, Sony will market, sell, and distribute all Disney new releases and catalog titles on physical media to consumers through retailers and distributions in the United States and Canada. Disney will continue to manage its own digital media, like premium video on demand. It's unclear if this is a result in layoffs at Disney. However, the studio is expected to conduct an internal assessment across all business functions that support physical entertainment amid the transition to Sony, according to sources familiar with the agreement. And according to Disney, the licensing model allows the studio to continue other offer films and TV shows through physical retailers and to respond to consumer demand more efficiently. The company said the shift is consistent with strategies and implement company-wide, as well as transition in other markets.
Right.
So there's that. And then whatever the reasoning, physical disc sales have long been in decline, and they show no signs of rebounding amid the industry streaming boom. Revenue for physical media in the U.S. dropped 28% to $754 million in the first half of 2023, compared with a $1.5 billion in the prior year, according to data for Trade DEG, the Digital Entertainment Group. So. Right. So now that's out of the way. So what do you think of this?
I totally get the people being concerned with layoffs, because with that, you would expect there to be mass layoff at Disney, because they're not operating or controlling that property. They've given it to Sony to take care of it for them. But I do understand that times have changed. You know, it's kind of like the past story that we just talked about with the whole Roadhouse thing, you know, streaming or theaters. You know, with Disney, you know, there aren't a lot of red boxes. I think they have here that the DVD sales and Blu-rays have gone down a lot. I mean, people like John and I who love movies, we're going to buy the DVDs and all that. But it's not the way it used to be. Everything is streaming now. So I get them getting rid of that and allowing Sony to kind of distribute and handle that. And I do want to mention that right now, Best Buy discontinued sales of DVDs. This is after what you just read.
Right.
And Blu-ray disc in the store and online in early 2024. The move followed Netflix's decision last September to shutter its DVD by mail service. So you have Walmart, Amazon, and Redbox are among the select major retailers to sell copies of like Avatar and Avengers. So we're not buying DVDs like we used to. There's no renting, you know, it's not like it used to be. So I get what they're doing, but I am concerned about what happens to that department, to those people. Will there be layoffs? Or because I was reading that they were going to assess everything and then go from there. So they're not necessarily saying they're laying off, but I mean, that could be a possibility.
I have a feeling, though, it has something to do with layoffs, though, because otherwise, why would you go ahead and try to strike up a deal with Sony when you've been basically distribution, DVD sales and stuff like that from the very beginning? Right. Not only that, but Disney also canceled their movie club for after 23 years of service as well in the early 2000s.
The Mouse, yeah, that's right. Mousey House, yes.
Yeah, so they get rid of that, and that's also part of physical content.
Right.
So I'm thinking that maybe Sony's like, look, we're going to distribute it, but you're going to have to drop something in order for us to work with you.
Right.
So therefore,
I can understand that.
Therefore, they probably dropped the Disney Club. Yes. And I was like, well, aren't you mad about it? I said, I'm not a Disney Club member. I don't have a reason to be mad. I said, if I want physical media, I can't afford a Disney movie. I can go to Walmart and pick up a steelbook, but it's physical media. I said, yeah.
Right.
But I still can go into a store and pick up something without having to worry about being a subscriber to Disney.
Right.
So I'm not mad about it at all. But
yeah,
But going off what you said, though, DVD sales have been in decline. Yes, I follow physical media collectors like myself, like yourself, on TikTok. Because, and matter of fact, I pre-ordered the Crow 4K steelbook. So, because
Love having the DVD. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. My bad.
No. Go ahead.
I love having the DVD in hand. You know, I'm one for physical media. I like going to the store and buy. And I'm just one of those people like it. We said, you know, I'm a gamer. I love movies. So I love having that, you know, and I love to collect. So, but I understand where it's going, and I don't have a problem with it at all. It doesn't bother me. Like we said, we're not, you know, Mousey Club or Mickey Mouse Club or Mouse Club, you know, subscribers. And I don't subscribe. And I don't subscribe to, you know, the Disney Channel. So, yeah.
Right. And, you know, I do have some type of nostalgia sometimes for Disney Plus, sometimes where I'll go back and revisit certain movies and everything that I grew up in my teenage years. But like I said, I'm not a Disney Club member. I don't care about that. But physical media is something that I care about. Now, let's say, for instance, a movie bombs in a box office in the early 2000s. Okay.
Yeah.
If your movie bombs, there's a chance that somebody could pick up the DVDs and it could make money off of the DVD sales because of it. And now you can't do that because of digital media, because of how everything's digitalized now. And the problem that I have with streaming services is the fact that they don't ever have the movies that we're looking for on streaming sometimes. And sometimes it's out of print on physical media and it's hard to get.
Right.
And at least if I have it on my rack, I can pull it off my shelf anytime I want without having to wait for someone to sign a contract and said, oh, yeah, we're going to go in and put Clerks 1 on there.
Right.
This week. Okay, well, guess what? Whoop-de-doo. I have it on my shelf. I can just pull it off now. I don't have to wait. That's one good thing about having physical media, because I can put it off my DVD shelf over here and just be able to watch it.
Right.
Some people call me a dinosaur. I don't care. I love physical media.
No, we still, I mean, we still, you know, go online, go on Amazon and order, you know, a bunch of movies from like the 80s or horror films, you know, the collection of, you know, whatever, you know, Cabin at the Lake or like something like that, you know, if
yeah,
we really
like Cabin
love that
in the Woods
movie,
or something
know,
like
Cabin
that,
in the Woods,
you know,
all that, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so I, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Rossi. Go on ahead.
No,
I'm sorry.
Ahead. I didn't mean no, you go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, I'm just thinking like early 2000s, I was working in a movie gallery, stuff like that. People rented movies. And now I'm thinking that the next thing to go is Redbox.
Oh, that's absolutely going.
Because I
I
don't
was
even
not
see.
to see one. It was like a dinosaur to me. I think I was at a Walmart. No, like at a Costco. And I remember looking over and I remember saying to Clint, like, oh my gosh, dude, they still have Redbox. I didn't know they had Redbox because they used to be outside of every 7-Eleven. And we used to go over there and rent movies. And then all of a sudden they were gone. And then you forget about it. So when you see it, it's like seeing a phone booth. You know, I saw a phone booth the other day and I was like, oh my God, dude, they have a phone booth. I wonder if it works. You know, things
I would like to know
are,
that. But
you know, you got to change with the times, you know. And so I get that.
same thing, same here.
Yeah.
And we have one at every single Dollar General that we have, Walmart over here. I used to rent from Redbox. I used to be a club member over at Redbox. And I would try to get those bonus points. Like I was going to a video store.
Right. I thought it was the coolest thing when it
Right.
came
I thought
out,
it was
Redbox.
cool.
So cool. Just go. You don't have to wait, like, because your Blockbusters are pretty much gone, but people still like to rent. And I thought it was a good setup.
I just don't like the
And it
five
was
star
really
system.
popular, you know. Now it's gone. So to find out that, you know, reading this article that Redbox is still out there, I'm like, they're on their way out.
Yeah, I can see it. I don't even see people in near a red box now.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly. Like
it's
I.
like you can see the tumbleweeds going through there, like an old Western and everything.
Right.
And Clint Eastwood coming out from the good, bad, and the ugly. But I just don't see it. I'm sorry. I just don't see Redbox making it. I do see now, if anybody's actually into physical media, go to shoutfactory.com and they have a fantastic bonus collection, stuff like that, if you're into stuff like that. But anyways, that's just me pushing out some Shout Factory stuff. So next, okay, so we talked about Roadhouse, we talked about
Yes.
that.
Oh, we're talking
So
about the crow.
yeah, I want your
Wow.
take on the crow look because I know I talked about it with Pick a Flick podcast the other night,
Right.
and I wanted your take on it.
I was reading the article because I wanted to know a little bit more about what the problem is. And then when I saw the new look of the crow, it looks like he's part of the Suicide Squad. You know, and I don't understand why you would go from that earlier goth look, you know, that light goth look, because reading about what is his name, Draken, Draven, is it
Yeah,
Draven? Yeah,
Eric
Draven,
Draven. Eric
Draven.
Draven.
Okay, Eric Draven. Looking at him or reading about him, this is supposed to be a good guy, a good soul. So then, when you make him look the way he looks, which is like, you know, the guy with the Joker. When you make him look like that, he does look like a villain. He absolutely does look like a villain. So I'm confused to why they would take such a drastic change from that. Now I get that you're updating the movie, but why update the look?
Exactly. Because here's the thing. And I love the crow. It got me into I talk about this all the time, but it got me into a lot of good rock alternative indie music and stuff like that with Nine Inch Nails, things like that. But aside from the music, okay, you have this grungy gothic kind of thing that actually felt kind of special. It had this melancholy kind of feel. And you have this soul that is a revenge story, but it's also a love story. And he's avenging the woman that he loves. This one looks
Sophia.
like a straight up murderous person that just is pissed off with the world
Yeah, on a revenge
already before he
campaign.
was
And
even a crow.
I was reading about that. And even one of the stars of it, what was her name? Shelley, not Shelley Webster. Shelley Webster plays Sophia, but
Actress
Rochelle
Rochelle
Davis, who
Davis.
played Save Sarah back in the day. Like, she's going off online. Like, she wants to boycott it. She doesn't like it. And she's also upset because of the fact that she's like Brandon Lee, who was, you know, half Asian, half white, but he was a person of color. Why would they choose to go with a white guy instead of going with someone that would match, you know, Brandon Lee's, you know, race, or I'm sorry, race. So But I myself don't have a problem with that. I don't, that does not bother me. I don't feel like you have to stick with how that character looked then. I feel like you could switch it up. I understand where she's coming from, but she's really upset about the look. She's upset about, like she said, the diversity part of it. And she will not see the film, doesn't want to see the film. Like she's going off. She's totally wanting people to boycott this film.
Yeah, she is. And I just want to mention this too. Like, I found out like there was like other Crow comics besides Eric Draven. And so happens to be this one is actually a different character name in the comic books. It's actually part of the Crow legacy or something like that. And matter of fact, my Joseph from the Multiverse of Geekdom is the one who brought it up to me. I'm like, really? Like, yeah. I said, I thought it was always Eric Draven. And he said, no, there was actually another character. But instead of them using that one character, they're using the Eric Draven name to basically sell tickets because everybody knows who Eric Draven is. But I will say this, I'm not sold on the look. I think that you can take anything out of context because it's just a picture. I love Bell Skarsgård. I think Bell Skarsgård is a great actor.
Yes, I was just gonna say his name. Yes.
He did great in John Wick Chapter 4. Great job as Pennywise.
Yeah,
I have
nothing
no
against
issue
him.
with him. No. And it's in like I told Pick a Flick. I said it doesn't matter if they got Jason Momoa because who that was also going to be another actor that was going to go on in and play this character. There would still be the same dingy look that we would get. Also, too, the director's also talking crap about the remake. But here's my thought process on this. As an actress, as a director, I think it's a little unprofessional to talk crap about somebody else's work. And so as a director, regardless of the fact of the way it looks, right? You had your shot. Nobody talked shit about your stuff.
To go
And
at
yes, it
someone
looks
else's,
right. That's how I feel. And it's only going to amplify the Crow fans even more. As well of saying, you see, they're talking about look how bad it looks. The actress, the director, they're busting their balls over there
Yeah,
for the,
make
because of
people
this.
not right.
And at first, I'm laughing at the fact. At first, I'm laughing at the fact that they're talking about how bad it looks. Then I had to put think about this. We as movie reviewers and stuff like that, we can do that because of the fact that we're movie reviewers, we're pundits and stuff like that. So we're able to do that. As someone that's a director, as someone that's an actress, as a little, for me, it's a little unprofessional. What's
I
your
get
take on
that.
that? This is me, my opinion though.
I don't have a problem with someone who directed the original one coming out and saying, you know, I'm not too happy with the where this is going. I don't have a problem with an actress saying, I'm not happy with, you know, the way that they made him look, or I'm not happy with, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I think that they can voice their opinions. Now, when you get to the point to where you're wanting the film to be boycotted, I think that to me that's going a little far, you know, because that kind of that now you're saying, you know, Bill Skarsgård, you know, that affects him as an actor. He's playing that part. It affects the movie itself, and of course that's what you're wanting to do. You're wanting to affect that the film. I just don't think that you should be calling for people to boycott the film. Don't go to the film. But having your opinion about it, absolutely. If you're asked, you know, no, I'm not happy with it. I don't like, you know, where they're going with it. Now the whole, you know, diversity thing, I think that's, you know, I don't see where that's an issue. I don't have a problem
No.
with that. Just make the movie good, you know. So I get the base complaints about you're taking a character that looked like this and you're making him look like they said, like the villain. He looks like the villain. That's not who the character was. But you know, you did mention that there's many, you know, different crows, or there was a different one or
And
whatnot.
there's actually four different movies of The Crow, too, after Brandon Lee's. There
Right.
was two theatricals, and all the rest of them have been straight to DVD.
Right.
I like the third one. I like aspects of the second one, but it's not as good. The fourth one had the actor who played John Connor from the Terminator 2. That sucked. The makeup is always different when it comes down
Is
to
it drastic though?
not this drastic.
Yeah, exactly. I know that the makeup, but it's not this dress. Like this,
No.
yeah.
And the third one, the guy gets framed for a murder he didn't commit. So they fry him in an electric chair. And I thought this was a cool concept of the fact that the guy has burnt skin. He's taken the burnt skin off his face,
Okay.
and he has scars right here, right here, right here, and on his
Okay.
mouth. And then
Okay.
basically they just take some lipstick and stuff like that and do it
Right.
like that. I'm like, okay, I like the way they did that because of the fact that they're using the burnt scars and stuff like that.
Right.
So, but this is drastic. This is totally different outside of left field and everything. I do not like the look of it.
I am for watching it though. I'm looking forward to seeing it, reading about it, and what they're going to do, like what this movie is going to entail. I definitely will watch this film. So I'm not saying I will not watch it. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I'm gonna watch a trailer
You
first
know.
before I see it and then pass judgment on the trailer if I think that it's gonna be something I would want to watch or something.
Right. We'll have to do
But
a reaction to that.
most definitely, I'm down for
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Okay. So now
Also,
that we got
guys, I want to mention that it is going to be in theaters June 7th, 2024. So want to let you guys know. You guys will be
And
able
it's
to check it
facing off
out.
against Bad Boys 4.
Right. Right.
So
That's a hard one. Yeah, that's a hard one.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So now I want to talk about Chris Stuttman for a minute.
Okay.
So Chris got on his YouTube channel and stuff like that. And I just want to point this out. I love Chris Stuttman. He doesn't
Yes.
know who I am or anything. But there are two great YouTubers who are great at what they do when it comes down to being a movie critic. There's Jeremy
Right.
Johns,
Yeah.
and then there's Chris Stuttman. And of course, my favorite pundits is, of course, John Campea, Christian Harloff,
Right.
stuff like
Yeah.
that. So, but Chris got on his channel and basically he winded up saying that he's gonna, re he said, I need to talk about this. And that was actually the
Yeah.
whole entire subject title of the YouTube video of,
Right.
I need to talk about this, using the Madam Web thumbnail as a
Right.
source of way of saying that he needs to talk about this. Everybody was thinking he was going to be talking about the Madam Web film.
Right.
And yes, he does use some clips within the
Yes.
video and stuff like that to talk about certain things, but that's not the overall theme of what he was trying to talk about.
Right.
But I will say this, as a movie reviewer, we need to actually say this. I think that it's important to talk about the positives as well as the negatives. You cannot talk about just the positives of something because there's no such thing as a perfect film. You have to give balance to the two. There's rare times that I give 5 out of 5s to movies, stuff like that.
Right.
If I felt like it was deserved a 5 out of 5, I'll give it a 5 out of 5. But you need to talk about both. You can't be halfway in and halfway out. And
Right.
I understand that Chris is coming out with his own movie and things like that too. And he even announced it. I love his honesty. He's upfront with you. He's like, hey,
Yes.
look, I'm no longer going to be talking about the negatives of movies and stuff like that. There's other outlets that you can do that with, but
Right.
I'm not going to be the one who does it. And after that, I'm like, okay, so basically your stuff is going to be watered down to the point where your stuff is basically nothing but positivity
Right.
within the film community because of the fact that you have respect for other directors. Okay, that's
Right.
cool. But I believe that as a film critic, you need to talk about the positives and negatives, just like how a film reviewer, movie reviewer is supposed to talk about the positives and negatives as well.
Right.
You have to have balance between that. But what's your
Right.
take on it?
You know, as an actress, I get where he's coming from because you don't want to bash other actors, you know, because you're in that world and you know, for me, trying to get to where they're at. So me being a movie reviewer, I struggle with that, you know, because I don't want to, you know, like I said, I don't want to speak negative of how the acting was and whatnot, but that's what we do, and you have to be honest with that. So I get where he's coming from. He's in that community. Also, I understand he did mention that. You know, we talked about that working, you know, a director working under the pressure of a studio, you know, he doesn't know how that is because he's an independent, you know, director. So he feels like now that he's been a director, but him doing that now, or you know, with the new film that he has coming out, he don't want to be mean. He doesn't want to talk bad about it. And he is a film critic, and that's what you do. You know, you give the positives and the negatives. And I don't think there's any, you can give a negative without totally, you know, demolishing the
Right,
film or
exactly.
whatnot. That's the point of having, you know, good points and bad points. And if there's a movie that's just, you know, this movie is really, really bad, and I don't have anything good to say about it, there's always something that you can say about it. I mean, John, you and I will say, well, the acting was good, you know, or
Right.
I appreciate, you know, the atmosphere, whatnot. You know, you can always find something good to say. So, yeah, so I feel that he's a critic, he should be a critic and just give both sides. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
I respect where he's coming from because I'm in that world too. And you know how hard it is to create. You know it's hard what we do. It's, you know, it's hard auditioning. It's a lot, you know. And as a director, I mean, that's a whole nother ball game being on set and watching what they do. Yeah, you know, and to have a product come out and someone ripping it apart, horrible, you know, horrible. So I get him, but you know, your channel is built on being a critic. You're great at being a critic. And you know, doing some research, you know, a lot of people are, you know, going to other critics now to go and, you know, get their full, the honesty of how they felt about that film. Because, you know, as a movie watcher, when I look at, or, you know, critics, I want to make sure I'm watching it because I want to know, is this something that I want to view? Is this a movie I want to stand in line and waste my money for? Like, we look for that as movie viewers, you know. But I respect them, and like he said, there's other people that you can go out and watch if you're looking for that. But I'm not doing that, and I'm only reviewing movies that I have positive things to say about it.
Right. And another thing I want to address here too. I'm not trying to tell him what he should review or shouldn't review
Right, of
or
course.
anything like that. That's not my job. My job is not to
Right.
tell him what, oh, you need to go ahead and review this movie and talk
Right.
about it and just lay it down because the movie sucked or anything. No.
Right.
Give your honest opinion. Tell us why you'd liked it. Tell us why you didn't like it. And that's
Right.
it. You don't have to bash the movie to pieces to the point where there's nothing to build it back up again.
Right.
Or anything, but I am a strong believer of the fact of if you're going to have something in your title and then you
Yes.
don't and you put something in there and you're not talking about that particular movie, even though
Right.
you're basically subconsciously basically telling us it's not good
Right.
and everything, and trying to draw that line between professionalism and critic. And I get this. I think it's impressive that he's trying to draw the line between the two of them.
Right.
But I think there's a way to do it to the point where it's like, look, as a director, I think that it would have worked maybe this way. I was thinking maybe it could go this way with it, but they decided to go
Yes.
in a different
Yep.
direction, but they didn't. Just rephrase the way you review
Absolutely.
stuff
Yep.
and things like that. You know, because you know the ins and outs of a director, and you're not telling them how they should direct a movie. You're just telling people, hey, look, this is the way I thought it was going to go down because of the way that how things are done because of that. But I
Right.
also felt like in a way he was also telling, basically crapping on the studios in a sense because of the fact that
Yeah.
he said basically that they have a lot of creative control. Yes, they do have
Yes.
creative control. And yes, studios should step in when they need to. And
Right.
yes, Warner Brothers and stuff like that were guilty of the stuff that they did with DC and stuff like that.
Right.
But here's the thing. That company's investing in you
Yes.
to do the best damn movie that you can actually put out, and hopefully it won't bomb.
Right.
And if it bombs, guess what? They're going to turn to you because of the fact that the movie bombed. And not only that, but people are going to end up, because of the fact that the company that they represent and
Yeah.
everything, people are going to look at the company and they're also going to look back over at the director too. And that's the way I see it. I think that I think that he shouldn't have not did it like that or anything like that. But as far as crapping on the movies, like let's say for instance that I'm here to rebuild Rossi's house. And I draw her up the most beautiful blueprint.
Right.
And like, you know what, John? I don't want that fireplace there. But trust me, I'm an artist. I'm going to put it in the living room. But I don't want it in the living room, John. I want it in my I want my fireplace in my bedroom.
Right.
Where me and Clint can relax. But trust me, you're going to love it. So I put it in there. She doesn't like it. Guess what? I'm fired because of the fact that I put a fireplace that she didn't like.
Here.
Right. Yeah. Same case and scenario with this. It's a business. Yes. And you have to have creative control over the people that you hire.
Yes.
Representation. You're investing money into this movie, investing your money, time, and energy into the actors, directors, yep. and producers, and costume designers, all built up into this one thing. Yep. So, yeah. But I'm not going to tell Chris what he should and should not be doing, that he shouldn't review Madam Web or what he should or anything right. like that. That's not my job. It's never been right. my job. I'm not here to target any kind of YouTuber or podcaster or anything like that. I've never been, this channel has never been built around that, and it right. won't ever be.
No.
But it's just certain things that I found that I needed to address. And so.
Yeah. And I do want to say that, you know, like you said, if we don't like what he's doing, go and watch another critic. This is how it's going to be. This is what he's going to do. He's a great film critic, and you know, I'm subscribed to him, and I'll continue being subscribed to him. He's good at what he does.
Exactly. So now that we moved on past that and Roadhouse drama and Chris Duckman. Okay. So that's everything for our main topics.
Yes.
So we actually have a question of the day. If you want to shoot us a question of the day, just email me at movielovesunite@gmail.com or email Rossi at rossitalks@gmail.com as well. And we'll take your live question on the air and give you a shout out for just sending us in your question.
Absolutely.
If we see it redeemable. Also, too, we also take questions on X as well. Well, Twitter. But we go on ahead. We'll take that. As a matter of fact, Pedals of Support has come in and chimed in. She is a great. She has a great podcast. Her name is Mama D. Mama D does a fantastic job. I listened to a couple of episodes of her.
Yes.
Episodes from Unfiltered Studios. Going ahead, follow everybody over there from Unfiltered Studios. Sleepy G, all those people. Matter of fact, Sleepy G will be on my show coming up on Sunday for Ghostbusters.
Ooh.
But, yeah,
we have a huge Ghostbusters family, guys. We have a huge family network, so you have a lot to choose from.
Yes. So, with that being said, she says, "Hi there." Hi, here's my movie question. Please forgive the weird way I think and describe things. The oldest and I are watching X-Men movies, and I suggested order and not released order. In X-Men Apocalypse, a young Colonel Stryker has Mystique, American Horror Story fast guy. Well, she actually takes the shape of different characters and stuff like that. So, yeah. So, Blue Hank, which is also is Beast.
Yes.
He has nicknames for everybody, and don't feel bad. I actually have nicknames for people in Game of Thrones, too. But Blue Hank and Maria in the Circle Room. When Sansa Stark...
Wow.
When Rogue is inside the room where they... Cerebro Room. Where they're at, where basically Professor X can locate different X-Men and stuff like that.
Right.
So, anyways, is wandering around the place with Cyclops and Nightcrawler. They find and release Wolverine from a cage. He is mega pissed and confused, but has metal claws. Now, in the movie right before this one, Wolverine X-Men Origins, Logan got filled with metal juice by old Stryker when he planned to kill his brother for killing his girlfriend. That is also he lost his memories. Dang. And because old Stryker is mega ass.
Wow.
So how does Wolverine have metal claws and no memory in the Apocalypse movie, which obviously happened decades early? Will this be explained in a future movie? I haven't seen it yet. Is this plot hole, and did they explain with the timelines, which really annoys me? Okay, so the deal with when watching a 20th Century Fox before it was taken over by Disney. Spot nudity, cotton nudity. It doesn't matter what you do to the X-Men franchise. They don't believe in timelines. But, okay, so when you think of this, let me think here. There was actually the young X-Men thing that they had. X-Men Fortune? Well, X-Men movies. Hold on. I'm trying to, that way I can get it right. X-Men First Class, when they introduced the young young kids and stuff like that in X-Men First Class, they were recruiting Wolverine, and Wolverine told them to go at, fuck themselves.
Right.
And so after that, they go about their ways, and they recruit other X-Men. So after that happens, a couple of years later, Days of Future Past happens, which reboots the whole entire thing. So basically, all that stuff that you've seen never even happened.
Right.
And which Wolverine, So and so now, guess what? When they go into, now when you wind up seeing X-Men Apocalypse and he's pissed off and everything and things like that, he's not, he has no, he doesn't even remember who they are or anything like that, because now the whole entire timeline has been rebooted. And at that point, I was like, yes, they finally are doing something right with it. They're going to do it. And nah, they lost the ball with X-Men Apocalypse for me. Okay. But yeah, that's why that happened. It's because of the fact that he has no memory of who they are because of the fact that it's been rebooted into a different timeline. And that's why. And he also has claws because of the fact they put the Ananium claws in him. Stuff like that at that time, because remember, if you go back and watch X-Men Origins with Wolverine, that's when they start dealing with all that. Okay. And it's just coincide with the comics though too, because he never had the Ananium claws. He had his bone would stick out every single time when he would do it. So he was stabbing people with his bone.
Bones.
So yeah, that's what's going on with that. So I just want to. So that explains your question, Pills of Support. I do thank you for bringing that in here. I do have a question for you, Rossi, though.
Yes.
Okay, so we actually have another movie coming out this weekend. And you also know Dune 2 got released.
Yes.
Okay, so guess what movie is going to be facing off against Dune 2?
Sure.
Kung Fu Panda 4.
Are you serious?
Yes. So my question is for you. Do you see Kung Fu Panda beating out Dune 2?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No. No, not at all. Kung Fu Panda, good. You know, great movie. Kids love it. But it, to put it up against Dune, absolutely not.
No.
No, I don't see that happening. I think the first one was absolutely epic. The remake that we got. Back a year or a couple of years ago, was it a year or two ago?
2021. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow. Gosh. Feels like it was just yesterday. But, anyways, yeah. So, having, and that one was amazing. So, no, I don't see that happening.
I don't see it either. And, you know, the very first one faced off against the Dark Knight in 08.
Yeah.
And the Dark Knight was making bank.
Yeah, that one's so good. Yeah.
And these movies are profitable, though. 2008's Kung Fu Panda kicked off the martial arts-inspired comedy series with $60 million and ultimately grossed $632 million globally. The two follow-ups were financially winners with sequel earnings of $665 million and three sequel generating $521
million.
So my thing is this. I'm thinking that Dune 2...
Yes.
It's still going to, I don't think Kung Fu Panda is going to roundhouse kick him.
Absolutely not.
And kick him into Roadhouse.
No.
And
Roadhouse.
But I don't see it. I don't see Dune losing to
Kung Fu Panda. Kung Fu Panda, it's going to do well. Like, it's going to make money. It's going to do well, but just not against Dune. But yeah, they're going to do well. I mean, is that Jack Black?
Yeah, Jack Black's coming back.
Yes.
But here's the thing, though. Rewatchability is always another thing, right? So people are going back to seeing Dune like three or four times.
Yes.
And yes, you do have. I like the fact that kids' movies are coming out and everything. It reminds me of the old days again.
Yeah.
So it's good to have something for the kids, but I have to say it, but Dune Ones will be number one. Number two will be Kung Fu Panda.
Absolutely. Yes.
So that's going to be it as far as our movie news segment goes. Rossi, thank you.
Our news?
Huh?
Do we want to share our news?
Yeah. About this? I'll let you talk about that.
I don't have the actual
okay, article. Yeah, that's right.
So just give a roundabout.
Okay, film there we
freeway.
Go.
Yeah.
I got you. So here's the thing. I'm sitting inside the doctor's office.
Yeah. He said the doctor's office.
But doctor. Sorry, got doctor. I cannot talk tonight. You can't pay my
time. But, me too. You know me.
It's all you good. Know me. But here's the thing. We ended up getting a message from the Macro Project Film Festival. And basically, they review movies with HBO, Netflix, Disney, Warner Brothers, and so many more. There has been some buzz about our work in the film festivals and industries circles of late. And our partners of Film Freeway recommended you to us. So we are going to be probably reviewing our first couple of screeners of HBO movies, Netflix, stuff like that. Yes. I'm just thrilled over the fact that they reached out to us.
Yeah.
And go on ahead.
Sorry. John and I, you guys know us. We do this. We can speak for each other sometimes, or finish each other's sentences. Anyways, okay. Dude, I'm sitting watching some TV. Probably playing a little Valhalla, and I get a message from John, and he sends me that, and I'm just super stoked and excited because for John and I, we enjoy, you know, coming here doing reviews, and you know, but we're doing this for a reason. We enjoy it, and we want this to be our future career, you know, something that we can really do great at and brand ourselves and make us a place where you guys want to come and see two regular smegular people giving you our, you know, opinions about movies and doing reviews. We love that. So to know that we've been watched, that someone's watching us and someone of importance that we can, goodness, learn from and get great movies from, that's a really big deal for reviewers like us. So we are super excited and we appreciate you all reaching out to us and that there's a buzz about Movie Lovers Unite.
Same here. I'm very excited for it. Like, this has been my dream since I started up the podcast from day one. Because I knew what I wanted to do.
Right.
I had that goal and that ambition of what I wanted. And now it's happening. And it's like surreal, right?
Yes.
To the point where it's like I have to pinch myself because of the fact that this is happening. And we are just incredibly thankful and honored and humbled over this.
Absolutely.
Because we're just small indie podcast that doesn't make anything off of reviews or anything.
Right.
And I think that just makes us even more humble, like the fact that somebody would reach out to us and just say, hey, look, we've seen you. We like what we see. We want you to come and review films that we want to send out to you.
Right.
So thank you so much for reaching out to us.
Thank you.
It is truly an honor, a blessing, and thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. So movies to come, guys. New reviews to come.
We're not done yet. We got plenty to go.
so many movies, guys. So many. Oh, JoJo.
Thank you, JoJo. Thank you so much for your love and support as well. And absolutely. Stuff like that too. I see you on TikTok liking my videos and liking Rossi's videos and stuff like that. Reposting. Thank you for being our biggest cheerleader for us.
Thank you. Absolutely.
So that's going to be it as far as the show goes, but I have some news as well. Okay. So as I mentioned, Sleepy G will be on my show Sunday at my calendar. But it's going to be at 7 o'clock. It's going to be, hold on, I actually have the schedule right here. So Ghostbusters is going to be on March 10th at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Then I have the Reels podcast coming in with me, and we're going to be reviewing Surf Ninjas.
Awesome.
Awesome. So we're going to be doing some nostalgia stuff with that. That's going to be on March 16th at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, which is going to be on a Saturday night. Cool. So we're going to be doing that. But yeah, just come on, enjoy talking Ghostbusters with us on March 10th at 8 o'clock p.m., 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. We are doing rewatch reviews all the way up until the new Ghostbusters movie.
Cool, can't wait for that. And also, guys, just to let you know, on March 20th, I have the wonderful, talented actress Kristen Duff that's going to come back through, and her and I are going to review Spider-Man. I think Spider-Man in the Metaverse, is it?
Spider-Man in the...
Did I say Metaverse?
It's close.
It's Verse, something Verse. I haven't seen it yet. That's what's cool about it is I haven't seen it. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. So the first one is Into the Spider-Verse. You're going to be watching that before you watch this. So Beyond the Spider-Verse is what you're going to be
Beyond the reviewing. Spider-Verse, not Metaverse, not Facebook. Anyways, Kristen and I are going to review that. I love Spider-Man. Haven't seen the movies before. So Kristen loves Spider-Man. So I'm going to do that review with her. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be on March 20th. And then on March 28th, I'm bringing the guys back for our gaming show. And we're going to do some gaming news. So you have Trust and Don Tucker and Jason Nichols that's going to be coming through. And we'll be back on March 28th, guys, with some gaming news. So please tune in.
Yep. And Rossi and I are going to be doing our Twister review
as
well. And we're not going to be playing the game Twister. We're actually going to be reviewing Twister the movie.
I'm looking at my calendar.
It's okay. You know what? I need one of those for me. But
They're awesome. Dry erase. They're awesome. But Clint's telling me I need to move it because it doesn't look good right there. I should put something else right there. And I'm like, I just like it right there. You know?
You know, so, he's the architect. He's being me right now. Use my analogy.
William. Yeah. There we go. I like it. But yeah, you got to get one. I'll probably have to send you one, dude. Okay. They're really awesome.
But so it's not called Beyond the Spider-Verse. That's gonna be the fourth one. That's gonna be like the third one, but it's actually Across the Spider-Verse.
Across the Spider-Verse, yes. Yep. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that, playing the game. So can't wait to play or watch the movie.
Me either. I can't wait to see that review that you guys do. But yeah, guys, that's gonna be it as far as the show goes. Thank you so much, JoJo, for commenting, supporting us. Thank you. To everyone that has supported us, and also too, thank you to Piddles of Support for that awesome message as well. Go on and reach out to us at movielovers@gmail.com and at Rossi McCree RossiTalks@gmail.com. All right, guys. Well, talk to you guys later.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows. Only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.